Here's Ken Rosenthal. I don't know what that means exactly. Hello, Kenny. How are you?
Good, guys. How's it going?
We're going okay. I got to ask you on a personal level before we get into the baseball stuff. Are you working on sorting out your situation with the Fox stuff? We talked about the Fox situation and what they've decided to do with their website and the fact that you've actually been posting columns on Facebook. Is that right?
That is right. And what? I will continue to do that until I do have some other outlet, assuming that I can go to another outlet, and I think I can. And I'm trying to figure that out right now. But people might ask, why write on Facebook? This is what I do. And
I know.
Because our website went all video, I cannot stop what I do. It's just not
in me. I know.
So, you know what people say, well, especially this time of year with the trade deadline, actually any time of year. So I'll keep at it this way. It's a little different, a little funky, I agree. But it's all I got right now. So until I have some resolution, I plan to keep writing on my Facebook page.
Look, I'm not going to blow smoke. You know that I respect you. And I said this on the air last week. I said, Ken Rosenthal, don't hold any tag days for the guy. I mean, he's going to get gobbled up by somebody. I'm guessing the phone has already rung and that the issue now is figuring out what your obligations are to Fox. How am I doing?
You're doing well. I would say that given the current climate, it's not as if this free agent getting courted by 9 different people. It's tough. And it's a lot tougher for a lot of other people. And like you said, don't cry for me. But these places where I maybe could go, it's not like a slam dunk for anyone. Money's tight with everyone.
I understand.
So we'll just have to figure it out, and I hope to figure it out, because really writing is central to what I do. Everything flows from that. So I'm not going to change. I just might not be at the same place.
Well,
from a writing standpoint. I'm on television without the other place.
I understand. So you would stay, you have no plans to leave Fox. You're contractually obligated to stay at Fox for some period of time. Is that correct?
And beyond that, I do not want to leave Fox.
Okay.
I've been at Fox for 12 years, and I've enjoyed being there, and we switched the website before. We've had different versions of it. So, hey, things happen, and they have every right to do what they did, and it's not my call. So, hey, as long as they let me go somewhere else, and that I would think is going to happen, then we're good.
Well, do you want to jump in here on this, Joey?
Quick question. Ken, in terms of the sports media landscape, in the U.S. and what's happened in many instances, we know where print is gone. We know where the printed word is going vis-a-vis this discussion and how it's all about stickiness and hits and clicks and video and millennials and all that. And you look at what Fox has done in terms of the whole debate situation and Fox television executive Jamie Horowitz, who is no longer with Fox because of a legal situation, It's interesting to see how there are still outlets that we look at, you know, The Athletic's one of them. They're hiring, they're expanding right now. Quality journalism on a subscription basis may have a future, it looks like, because there are people with money that still want to read good sports journalism. Does that at least,
yes, they do.
Does that make you feel at least hopeful? Because it's, you know, it sounds like this is tough. It's tough on everybody that's been dealt this hand.
Yes, that's true. It is tough. And the honest truth is, I believe in the written word, obviously. I do believe that there are many, many people who still want to read. The problem is that companies like Fox, like others, have had a hard time monetizing it. And that's an issue, right? I mean, if you can't make money off writers, then maybe it's not so great to have writers. But as you said, The Athletic is one example. There are maybe other models for me. And I firmly believe that something is going to work and that writing is not going to go away. And I just don't buy this whole notion that people don't like that. They certainly like videos. We know that there is plenty of research to suggest that, and it's a lot cheaper to put videos on a website. Okay. But I don't think that means writing is dead or anything like that. And I just will never believe that.
Well, no, I don't think any of us that are in this business believe that. And I'm not a writer per se, and don't pretend to be, but I'm one of those guys. I'm of an age bracket where I pick up a newspaper every day and read the hard copy, and then I go to the internet and I scan around to see what I'd be interested in reading. I have no interest in watching videos. I have no interest in what millennials are intrigued by. I acknowledge they exist and that they are part of the problem, if not the solution. But the idea
have children who are millennials, Bob.
Yeah,
and
so do I.
They read plenty.
Yeah,
they read plenty.
Mine too. Yeah.
So
I don't get this really.
I get it because it's all financially based, and if indeed companies are having a hard time making money under that model, okay, that's why they would be backing off it. That's understandable. That's the way the world works. It's just that I wonder if there is another way to go, other models, as you suggested, and if there is a place for it. I firmly believe there is a place for it, and it's not simply because I want there to be a place for it. I saw the reaction when I said the other day on Twitter that I was no longer going to write at Fox because there was no way to write at Fox, and I heard from, I would say, thousands of people.
I'm no doubt it.
And they were all, hey, we want to read. And again, it's not an easy thing. No one's figured out the internet. That's
I can't believe we're having this discussion.
Well,
we're talking about people reading, right? Which is fundamental to being a human being.
Well,
I agree. But again, it's the internet. And it's people who have tried to make money off the internet since it's begun. And no one's really figured that out yet. And that's part of what is going on here. That's why, honestly, I cannot disparage Fox. They're making a business decision. Maybe it's right. Maybe it's flat wrong and they're going to crash. I don't know. But everybody's trying something else. And that's where we are right now.
Well, and just to be specific, not to correct you in any way, shape, or form, because I don't think, I think you will agree with this assessment, that the issue is not exactly sports sites having trouble economically justifying the cost of writing. All websites on the internet are having a terrible time figuring out how to monetize this beast.
That's exactly what I'm saying.
Yeah.
And the written word has been particularly problematic. It is easier, seemingly, and I don't really understand this stuff entirely myself, but it is easier, again, seemingly, to make money off videos. That seems to be the obvious message here. And people are going to try to make money where they can. So,
yeah, good luck.
Again, that's where it is right now. Is that where it is 5 years from now? Maybe it's worse. I don't know.
Well, we don't want to spend too much time dwelling on this, but we know you will land on your feet. I don't think we're going to hold any tag days for you, but if you need it, give us a call.
no need to hold tag days for me. And I want to say this too, Bob, before we move on. There are a lot of people who are not as fortunate as me who are not able to work on television, and they are suffering. Those are the people who I feel the most for.
Well said.
And it drives me crazy because there are a lot of really, really good people who are just currently out of work, and that to me should not be, period.
Hear, hear. Well said. To baseball, very quickly. You have reported the Milwaukee Brewers have expressed an interest in J.A. Happ. Do you think the Blue Jays would even contemplate moving him?
Sure, they would contemplate it. It would have to be the right offer. I don't know that they are eager to do it. And, Bob, the one thing about the trade deadline, the truth always comes out. Now, the Blue Jays' current position, from everything we know, is that they don't want to compromise next year. They believe they can still be competitive next year.
Correct.
And that they're not going to listen on any of the longer-term guys, Stroman, Sanchez, Donaldson, maybe even Happ, who signed through next year. Could that change in 10 days? Sure. We've seen teams do this all the time. And I will say, when a GM says something 2 weeks before the deadline and then shifts course, no one ever remembers. If you recall, it was about a week ago when Theo Epstein said, the answers are here internally. We've got to figure it out internally. Well, evidently, that was not the case. They traded for Jose Quintana. So my point is, things will happen in the next 2 weeks that will spin our heads, that will seem, whoa, counter to what we were told. And that's why I don't entirely trust any team that says this is our position. I understand it. I understand why that is the Blue Jays' position. And frankly, it should be the Blue Jays' position in many ways. But if the Blue Jays turned around and said, you know what, we just see this as not working. Let's go for it right now in terms of a rebuild, trade everybody. Well, there'd be a logic to that too. So it's going to be really interesting for them. They have not played well, and they do have to do some things, and their expiring contracts are with players who are not necessarily holding great value right now.
So it was reported that the Yankees were in on the Quintana deal, and everyone's kicking the tires on Sonny Gray, despite the fact that he's got a 10-15 record over the last year and a half and a 4.86 ERA and his injury history. And now there's word that the Tigers may be willing to eat some salary on Verlander. Who's the next big pitching domino to fall, in your opinion?
Well, that's a good question, because right now it's hard to identify who that might be. And I spend a lot of time this time of year trying to figure out what the surprises are going to be. I never win. I never succeed at it. But it's my job to try. For instance, I didn't expect the White Sox would ever trade with the Cubs. But I would imagine that we're going to be surprised by the availability of some starting pitcher that is not apparent to us right now. Don't know who that's going to be, but things can change a lot in the next 2 weeks, because teams will perhaps decide, well, we're not in it. Maybe teams will be overwhelmed with offers for players that they did not anticipate and take a different course.
Last one before we let you go. I have floated the notion of the Blue Jays trading Justin Smoke. And I'm intrigued by your perspective on it, from at least this perspective. Do you think there would be a market for him if the Blue Jays decided to go down that road?
Not right now, simply because the need at that position is not terribly great. It's really only one team from what I can see.
Yankees? Yeah.
And so you're looking at Yonder Alonso from the A's probably getting traded. There are other first base types available. And I just don't know if the Jays would get what they want. Now, this offseason, different story. And it would be 1 year left on his contract. So maybe then, when teams are a little bit more flexible with their positions and willing to do things, it would be more feasible. But we must say this about Smoke, and a lot of people, including myself, were highly critical of the two-year contract they gave him. We said, what the heck are they doing? It's crazy. He doesn't even deserve 8.5 over 2 years.
Yeah.
Well,
and now look.
They had that one right.
Yep.
They got that one right, and that's pretty good. So good for Smoke, good for the Jays in that decision. But I just don't know, Bob, if it's the right time right now to do something like that.